The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on? Hey, welcome to this edition of The Chalene Show. It's Car Smart Friday, but it really should be called Couch Smart Friday because we're recording this from our couch.
Hello, this is Brett from the couch too. Okay.
This is back-to-back what? Days, not on the same podcast, but mm-hmm. I did Build Your Tribe yesterday and Chalene Show today.
Wow.
And I'm not getting paid for this.
You're not getting paid enough, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
So if you don't listen to Build Your Tribe, I don't know what's wrong with you. Get your life right, because Brett was on there yesterday and we went over our 7 streams of income and how we did it and how we built them and in what order and which one provides us the most amount of income, which one is the most passive, which ones were the toughest. We recovered all that on Build Your Tribe.
And you don't have to be a business owner to listen to this one.
No, for sure. But it's an important one to listen to. So let's get to it. Put your seatbelts on, or I guess grab a comfy pillow, because we're going to spill the tea. All right. So I asked Brett to be here. Well, mainly because Lifer updates are like, you know, we just talk about like everything that's going on in our lives. And there's a lot, but kind of to update everybody, mm-hmm. Bob and his wife tried going to a, would you want to describe it?
It's a combination of a combo, like a lot of these are, a care home, not residential care home, but an actual group home, that one side of the facility is for assisted living. So picture, you know, a widower's, or, you know, couples that just can't take care of themselves. They need a little extra help, or maybe one of the spouses needs a little bit more help and the other one's still there. And then the other side of the facility is for extreme memory care.
Well, here's the deal though. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's for memory care. But what we quickly learned is that the people who are there are much, much further along than Bob.
So I kind of liken it to this, that Chalene and I went to the facility. We did ask a bunch of questions. And it was a little bit like, you know, when you're 10 years old and you're at the Christmas party and you had to play with a bunch of 3 and 4 year old cousins. Mm. That's a little bit what, and Bob's the 10 year old playing with a bunch of 3 and 4 year old cousins. And it just did not, like today, he literally looked at my mom and said, nuh-uh, nope. Cause he's way more aware than, well, Chalene and I know that he's more advanced and he understands concepts and stuff. My mom hasn't been around him enough to understand that, but she saw that today.
Yeah. I mean, and that's part of what's been really hard about all of this is we know Bob. I think we know Alzheimer's better than anybody in your family, anyone.
Oh, for sure.
Including your mom, including your brother, everybody, because we read the books, we listen to the podcasts, we study, we speak to the experts.
We've read all the comments of people that have gone through this already.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. Like, first of all, we really, really, really understand the disease. We really, really understand Bob, and we spent a lot of time caring for him, improving his health, improving his cognitive abilities, but yet...
And letting him believe a narrative that we've never changed from day one.
Yeah.
So he's very comfortable with, like, what's going on here at the house.
And this is something that, you know, your mom has wanted to have him in a home for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, I mean, that just is what it is. I don't think I'm disclosing anything that people aren't aware of, but, like, you know, it's just too, too hard for her. Mm-hmm. And when I say she wanted to have him in a home, it's not because, like, let's get rid of him, let's put him at home, because she didn't want it to become our burden.
Correct.
But it is our burden.
Correct.
And it still is our burden, and Bob is still here with us. Mm-hmm. And Bob does not want to be at that facility, and we don't want him to be there. And I think today his mom finally realized that it doesn't make sense for him to be there. So the alternative, if he's not going to be there, is that he is our responsibility, and unless we can figure out some other solution, because his mom really does not like this to be our responsibility. She doesn't like that, but yet she also knows that she can't handle it. And frankly, we're at a stage now where it's like, we really need relief.
And we have things coming up in the fall that we've planned, and there's going to be work trips and trips that we just signed up for, and we have to just go and not have any responsibility other than the two of us. And so we have to figure this out.
Yeah, but let's just be honest. Every day right now feels like Groundhog's Day.
Oh, it is. I texted you that today. I go, we're in Groundhog's Day. It literally is every day. And I know there's caretakers out there, but I told Shalene this a couple weeks ago. It's not normal for 50-year-old siblings to see their parents and then also manage.
Siblings, you mean you.
Me. And manage and see your parents every day. You know, you don't do that. Like, that's not.
It's managing, it's solving problems, it's running interference between the two of them. It's caring for one who can't care for themselves. And frankly, it's fixing and untangling and deciphering things for your mom who can care for herself, but she hasn't.
Without making major mistakes. Like, when I say a mistake, like rushing into something that's going to, you know,
end up
costing a bunch of money or headache or just complicating things. So we're, you know, constantly having to, okay, so what do you think the plan should be? Or what, you know, what are your thoughts? And then, you know, we go over those, but it's pretty much on a, you know, that's on a daily basis. And then also caring for my dad, you know, like making sure, like, you know, he got home this afternoon and I was like, I know he didn't have his afternoon medication. So I was like, you know, his medication. And then, you know, and it's always the thing with managing with, for my dad, is that you constantly have to be aware of the time of day and like what's going on. And we know his circadian rhythm, like for the entire day. Like, I don't know if that's the right word, but
circadian. Yeah.
So, for the entire day. Like, we know, like, okay, he wakes up, he has breakfast, he chills till 10:30. Every day, it's the same thing. Then he wants to be active, whether that is going for a walk, running errands, or doing chores. Mm-hmm. And he needs to do that for a couple hours. And then he starts to get tired, and then it's time for lunch. And then by the time lunch rolls around, you know, it's like 2:30 or 3, he's ready for, you know, watch a little television.
He likes to watch a movie.
Yeah, or whatever, and then starts to unwind because the dude.
Then a bike ride.
Or something like that, another, like, afternoon activity. Then he's ready for dinner, his Jack Daniels, his evening meds, and he's ready to go to bed. Like, 6:30, he's already thinking about, you know, going to bed. Like, numerous times we have to tell him, oh no, it's only 4:30, Dad. It's not time to go to bed. But, you know, with that being said, it's just like, if somebody isn't thinking about that, you're going to throw them all off, which is just going to cause them more anxiety.
Yeah. And it's hard to communicate with your mom because she has spent, and there's a good chance she's listening to this. That's a possibility. So, you know, Debbie, hi, we love you. This isn't anything that she doesn't already know, but their relationship was such that Bob called all the shots. Bob is the ultimate alpha male. Mm-hmm. So if she wanted to do something, she looked at him and was like, should we do this? Do we do this? What do we do? I mean, everything, like what to eat, where to go, everything. Everything was very much controlled by Bob, and that became their pattern. And like, even tonight I was talking to her, and it's just so foreign to her, even in this state of his advanced Alzheimer's, for her to not
go along,
do
with
whatever he says. Yeah. Like, so if he's like, let's go home. Like the other day, they were here watching golf on TV, and he's like, are we going to lunch? And she's like, right now? It was like early, it was like 10 a.m. And he's like, yeah. And she said, no, we're watching golf. And he's like, okay. And so he waits 5 minutes and he's like, are we going? And she's like, okay. You know, she forgets, like, he's not in charge anymore. He doesn't even know what time it is.
Yeah. We would just say, oh no, we got a couple things to wait for here. And, you know, we'll go in a few hours or something like that. Or we'll go this afternoon a little bit later. And if you say that to him that way, or we're waiting for something to be delivered, or here's another great one. We have some people coming here to see Rocco. Then it's over with.
Yeah, there's an easy narrative.
Yeah.
An easy narrative, I guess, for us, but for whatever reason, it's really hard for your mom.
Yeah, because we didn't have you know, it hasn't been like that drummed in for 50 plus years.
Right.
So, you know, it's got to understand the whole dynamic. That's why you do such a good job when you're updating people and you're talking is like, you know, you just can't go with the day. Like, you can't just evaluate everything based on July 23rd. You literally have to like take in like everything that's happened over years and try to decipher like exactly what's the best for everybody.
Yeah. And I felt like we had gotten there. I felt like we'd finally like come to grips with the fact that it's probably best if he were in this facility and spending the day with his wife, and then we could see him during the day. And we really felt like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. You know, it's affecting your health. It's so stressful, you guys. And it's hard. And just coordinating his mom and dad every single day is, that's twice as hard. It just is. Gives me a stomach ache. And we felt like, okay, a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. We experienced that. And then I would assume you would agree with me, honey, that we both got like really, really sad.
When we went over there to walk through it, it's a beautiful facility, but we both walked out of there going, wait a second, can he do this? Can he do this? Can he do this? Because we know what he needs to do during the day for him to be happy and for him to just, you know, how he's progressed, how he's kind of like got in this little habit here. And when my mom couldn't answer those questions, we asked, do you mind if we call the facility and ask? And we had a nice conversation with a lovely person over at the facility. But the bottom line is, he would be sitting in this
lockdown. His life would suck.
He would be sitting in a lockdown memory care with basically in his room or eating food. That's it. And the only way he's getting out of there and going to walk around to the other side in the courtyard where all the activities are is if somebody comes and gets him, a family member, a loved one comes and gets him and goes, okay, we're going to go over and go up to the top deck and golf, or we're going to go, you know, go to their bar and have a drink. They don't have any of that in the memory care, and you can't get out. There's like a code. There's no way any of them can get out. You're just locked down, and all you're doing is eating, and you're in your room. And I was like, this is so backwards for him. Like, it's moving him backwards so fast. And even he felt
it. He would decline so fast.
Yeah, he would decline so fast, but he felt it today. Like, he's still in a cognitive state to know, like, I'm not these people. I'm not there yet, and I'm not going to stay here.
And I think your mom thought that she would be going there every day to hang out with him. And I think the reality of doing that for a week kind of set in. What do you think?
I think so. But I also think that she didn't quite get all the answers. She didn't ask all the questions. You know, like, you and I are so curious, and you and I are just like, what about this? Well, what about that? And we, you know, once we got all those answers, and that I think she thought that, you know, maybe their caretakers in the memory care would take the memory care patients out and they would go do activities, but they don't.
Well, they do. But then he's with people who are much more advanced. And by advanced, I mean their disease is advanced.
Yeah, their disease is farther along.
Yeah. And he's just, you guys, I mean, you've seen him. He's, you know, he doesn't know left, right, up, down, time, can't tell, time, can't read, can't colors, drive, no. Doesn't know colors, doesn't know any words, doesn't, you know, puts his underwear on over his sweatpants. Like, but by the same token, he's, I don't know how to describe it, because he's there.
I know.
Does that make sense?
And he knows in the morning, I let the dogs out. He lets the dogs outside and they go outside and go potty, and he knows that. And he understands, like, washing dishes. He understands, somebody just prepared me food. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. He understands when the trash cans are full. I take the trash cans out and I throw them away. He asks me every day if the trash guys are coming, but when I tell him, hey, the trash guys are coming tomorrow, he takes the trash cans out and he waits all day long for them to put them back, you know, to throw away the trash so he can go put them back. So he understands, like, he has tasks here that he's doing, and he feels a sense of
purpose
and a responsibility, and there just wouldn't be any there, anything like that there.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt real quick just because I want to tell people about Organifi. They are our show sponsor today. We love Organifi. How much do we love Organifi?
Every day.
And we live it. You should see our pantry. We've got these really cool clear I guess you would call them like display storage units, and all of our Organifi packets are like lined up. It looks like a little, I don't know, it's very appetizing.
Looks like a convenience store.
It does. It looks like an Organifi convenience store. And we live on this stuff. We just have to lock that pantry when Sierra comes over because she always tries to steal my immunity. That's a daily. For me, I take immunity and Pure every single day because that's brain health and my immune system. Organifi is spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. .com. And when you go to Organifi.com/Shalene, you will automatically get 20% off all of your products. Again, the code is Shalene, but you want to go to Organifi.com/Shalene. I want you to check out the multitude of things that they have available to you. They've got a nice, new, very simple mix in your water pre and probiotic. I've been drinking their new, very new product. It's called Harmony. I used to drink Gold. I still love Gold, but if I'm being honest, I like Harmony even better. It tastes even more like hot chocolate, and I've been drinking that in the evenings, and it's great for hormone health. It's got vitamin A, vitamin C, and iron, so important. And it is proven, it's got ingredients that are proven to help with PMS symptoms. Now, that's ideal because many of you struggle with cramps, etc. I have to tell you, that's not why I take it. I drink it just because it's a healthy alternative to doing like regular or even diet hot chocolate in the evening. I just like something warm. It's a great way to wind down and I sleep better with it. So that's Organifi.com/Shalene. For 20% off, you want to enter the code Shalene. And again, Organifi is spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. You guys, I'm telling you, you will love their products. You won't regret it. All right, back to us. So where are we is, I don't know, like so much.
We're right in the middle of it. Like, we're not going to give you any answers on this podcast.
But he's back with us. Mm-hmm. And the place that they...
Well, he never left us. He was just...
Yeah, right. He never spent the night there.
Long term, he's back with us.
Yeah. They never spent the night there. She paid for a month, and her plan was to move them in on a specific date. And we said, hey, how about we not rush into this? And, you know, Debbie was, she really respects the fact that we know him so well, and she really does. And I thank her for that because I do appreciate that she really, like, respects.
She defers to us in terms of, like, what's going to be best for him.
Yeah. And I think this is why that is, because obviously she's been with him for 54 years or 53 years, whatever. But she was with Bob. We're with the disease. Yeah. And we understand the disease. She understood Bob. We understand the disease. And we care about Bob. So where we're at right now is we're kind of like we thought we had like maybe a plan that we'd struggled with the idea of it, really struggled with it. But we'd also come to a place where we were accepting that it was probably going to be the best thing for all of us. And now we're back to, nope, that's not going to be the best thing for all of us. And we're kind of back to the drawing board. So what I'd love to know from y'all is if there's someone out there who is a Alzheimer's advocate, who you've heard our scenario and our situation, and you understand the peculiar nature of their relationship, meaning she can't live with him. What other alternatives are there other than him just staying here with us? And, you know, obviously we know that. We also know that a caregiver could move in here. And I don't feel guilty saying, I don't want that. I don't want another person in our house. I just don't. And I know you don't either.
No, we didn't buy this house for that. We'd have to go buy our house back from the people, our bigger house. It's just not that big of a house to have another person in here.
No. So if any of you are maybe an Alzheimer's care advocate and you've got an idea or a suggestion, like certainly we've thought about, you know, one of the smaller homes where they do residential care.
We have a really, really, we're fortunate. Through my coaching days and stuff like that, we have so many doctors and friends and stuff like that that will just help us. And we have a doctor that we're going to talk to next week, and he's actually owned the residential care homes. But we don't know anything about them. We don't know anything.
I would assume that a home like that is as good as the staff that's there and the other residents.
That's exactly what Dr. Rulin said. He said, all those places and any place that you go to is only as good as the staff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know in a home if they're going to have all the other amenities and things. It's a house. So, like, what are the activities? There's got to be activities, or it's going to be it doesn't make any sense.
But the only activities Bob needs are helping. He just wants to help.
Yeah, you could acquire
if we could
house.
Get Bob like a part-time job, we'd be money. So that's where we're at, you guys. So.
Is there any place that's just, you know, like that all you do is take out trash over and over and over again? It's like, it's like, I wonder if like In-N-Out Burger, like they just go through so much stuff that they're just taking out trash the time, and they just have one person that takes out trash. He could totally do that. They could pay him in double doubles.
Can you quickly give people an update on your condition, your personal condition?
Yeah,
so they know about your setback and how you had your electrocution or whatever.
Yeah. So we really, that week, we started looking into like, should I go to the Mayo Clinic? And the couple of the doctors and kinesiologists that are working on me think that I should not explore that yet as long as my mental state can stay positive. So I'm working on that.
Which it is thanks to me.
Yeah. So I'm working.
Wow, you were not very positive for a little bit there.
Yeah, I had about a 72-hour lapse that I was.
Oh, you're calling it 72 hours?
Huh? Yeah, it was. It was like last week, Wednesday through Friday type of deal. Maybe one extra day.
Okay.
But so I'm working on my mental state, and it's been a good solid week. And I'm just going to all my appointments, and the people that are treating me really think that, you know, eventually my nervous system will just kick in, which sounds really weird because my whole life I've been told like, oh, you have a sprained ankle. It's going to hurt for a couple weeks and then you're going to be fine. You know, every injury, everything, you know, oh, you have a cold. You'll be not feeling good for a week, but then you're perfectly fine. It's just like this right here is there's no timetable. It's 6 weeks on Saturday.
Mm.
And I still have, we call it the saddle region. My saddle region has, I'll give you two words. It's numb and it's extreme pressure. But the pressure doesn't hurt. It's just pressure. And then the back of my ankles are feel like they're in concrete. Like they're just like stuck. And I can move them. I can walk and I have no pain. And I'm going to the gym, which has really helped. So I've been lifting. Lifting upper body and some lower body. I'm going to the gym tomorrow and I'm going to do some light weights and then I'm going to go swim.
So here's the deal, which is so confusing for people because people see you on my social and they're like, oh, Brett's walking. Yeah. He's better. I'm like, no, he's always been able to walk and do everything. But he just can't feel anything.
Yeah.
What percentage since your setback? I know you don't like me to ask this, but I feel safe asking it in front of my friends. What percentage since your setback have you progressed or have you not?
Yeah. So because the legs are obviously complex. So quads, hamstrings, calves are all back to where they were before the episode.
Oh, wow. You've been holding out. You haven't been telling me that because you told me I couldn't ask you.
Okay. Because I really just want to wake up one morning and just start like jumping up on the bed before.
Is that it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not even close to that.
I know. But it's weird though. This is like the first time that you've said that. And I haven't asked because you told me not to.
I mean, they're starting to feel like they were before we went on our trip.
Okay.
But my saddle region and pressure has been constant. It hasn't subsided.
Well, what I assume...
And the ankle.
What I assume is reassuring about that is that Steve, Armo Steve on Instagram, Steve knows so much about the neurological system. Mm. He told you that. He said, listen... we're going to get you back really fast, a lot faster than it took to get you here.
Yeah.
And so far, everything that he's told you has been 100% accurate, right?
Yeah, he's been an angel. He's a great guy. If you're having any problems, I mean, we've had listeners that have flown out to see him, which is kind of crazy, but he really does help people and some of the
stuff. And like little babies. And, and I think this is important because somebody is hearing this message right now who needs to hear this because they've tried everything. And those are the people who end up going to Steve. And again, he's not a doctor. I just think he's been given a gift from God. Like Brett goes, his hands were meant to do what he does.
Oh, yeah. He's got these like, fingers that are just like God said, we're going to give you these fingers and I'm going to give you the ability to learn the nervous system. And he just feels things and he's just like, oh my gosh, that's different. That's different. And he was doing that all day today. So I had this session today where we worked out for an hour with the type of, I'll call it a massage because it's kind of, that's all I can really tell
it's like
you.
Stimulation.
Yeah, it's like stimulating the nerves through this pattern that he does. But then he was getting me up on the TRX and we were doing squats and we were doing all this kind of stuff. And he killed me. My legs are still fried, and this was like 7 hours ago. And they're still just like, and when I say fried, they're just like, they're just really tired. They're not going to be sore tomorrow. They're just really tired.
Okay, enough about you. Let's talk about other kinds of people that he's helped.
Oh my gosh, he's helped babies. He had a gal that was listening to the show that had like a dead foot. Like two or three sessions, she's fine.
Wow.
So she's working. Oh, the one he told me today was a cancer, had a brain cancer, a kid, little kid, had two surgeries. And when he did the surgeries, his right arm wasn't moving. So his right arm and his hand weren't moving. And in four sessions, he was moving his hand, and he's moved his hand ever since.
Wow.
He just understands.
I saw one of the people, and then I went down a rabbit hole. He treats a lot of people who have been paralyzed, have, what do they call them, close-head injury and spinal injuries. Yeah. What's it called? Spinal injury? Yeah, there's a word for it. But where they haven't had any movement, and then he works with them, and I'm not saying he's got them walking, but like just the one lady that I watched, she'd been in a motorcycle accident. I think she was an attorney, and she flew out to see him, and he, for like the first time in like 18 months, she was moving her foot, both of her feet. Again, I'm not saying that she like ran out of the place, but like I've got to think, if there's nothing moving and you go see this guy in his garage in Huntington Beach and he's not a doctor, I mean, you go and do that when all else has failed.
Yeah.
And I just do believe he has a gift. Anyways, I'm happy to send him business because I think he's doing God's work. I will again put a link to his Instagram in our show notes. RMO Steve. What's Steve's last name?
It's something like that.
No, it's not. It starts with an H, I think. Either way, it doesn't matter.
It's Steve the Healer.
You call him Steve the Healer. Yeah. And that's what Brett calls him. Anyways, you guys, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you tuning in and sharing in our journey. We're still here. Love you. Mean it. And we'll talk to you soon.